We like that song. Those of us who have lived as Christians for some time, because we've lived it, right? We know the message and the meaning of that song and how it affects our lives. We are sitting in Sunday school this morning, and I told Art, I said, "Oh, thank you for talking about my Sunday morning message in Sunday school. You gave the perfect lead into it," because Art said, "You know, God has done so many good things for me in life, and most of the time, I never even asked." Isn't that what you said this morning? And he said, I never asked. God just has been so good to me, and I don't know. I'm going to run with that for a second, because we talked last week, we're talking about this Shunammite woman, the Shunammite family, really, and how Elisha was shown compassion by this woman and her family, her husband. They prepared a room for them. And last week I was talking about how we need to be people of true compassion, who go out of our way to show the love of Christ to people who really need it. I said that what we need to do is to bless the guest. And that's what we saw this woman doing. And I said we need to think about the fact that the book of Hebrews says that we may even have entertained angels unaware. And I watched Art in church for as long as he's come here. And if there's a visitor that comes through the door, who's the Shunammite woman of our church, right? If there's somebody, a new visit, I'm sorry to call you a Shunammite woman there, Art, but it's true. If somebody comes into the door, you know, I think to myself, I was like, oh, I got to go visit that person. And before, I've never seen them here before. And before I could even get to talk to that person, Art's already like got his arm around him and they're best friends. And every, Art goes out of it. Sorry, Art, but you're the Shunammite woman of the church.
I've been called worse.
but he goes out of his way to try and bless the guest, to entertain angels unaware. And today I want to talk about a blessing from God that a couple didn't even ask for. And he didn't know that that's what I was going to talk about this morning. You didn't read my notes last night, did you? No, he didn't. But in Sunday school, that's what God led his heart to talk about. And this morning, I want to talk about God giving us gifts that we didn't even ask for. And at the same time, about how God gives us trials that we didn't even ask for. I titled this morning, A Miracle and a Tragedy. And none of these were asked for. And in Christian circles, often we talk about how God blesses us. And he gives us good things. But then sometimes Christians will say, well, that's a prosperity preacher. Somebody who's always thought, you know, if you come to church, you give your money to church, you say a prayer here, we'll send you a blanket, and if you pray over this blanket, God will bless you, and we call those prosperity preachers. And we know that the Bible talks about in this world you will have, what's it say? In this world you will have millions if you follow Christ? No. In this world you will have trouble. And that's a truth. And if you live a Christian life long enough, you're going to find a God who blesses you beyond what you could ever imagine as you see him work in your life and give you new life, abundant life, as he heals, restores, saves. But at the same time, you're going to find that following Christ often brings with it tragedy, trials, temptations. And when we follow Christ, both are a reality. And if you got into religion because your thought was had something to do with karma, that if you do good things, that good things are going to happen back to you, or those who aren't me, that's usually what we say, those who aren't me who are doing bad things are eventually going to come their way, then you haven't read this book. Because often in this book we see people who do what's right, and they're doing what God would, and they're following God, and the trials that they face seem almost too much to bear. And we also see people in this book who God just showers blessings upon them. And the truth be told, usually the two go, like think about Joseph. Think about all the problems and the things that he went with, and think about all the blessings that God showered on him. And as we look at this family today, this Shunammite family, we're going to talk about a miracle and a tragedy. A miracle and a tragedy. Let's read in our Bibles. I'd like to read for us to read 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 11 to 21. 11 to 21. It says, and it happened, 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 11. It says, and it happened one day that he came there, and he turned into the upper room and lay down there. Then he said to Gehazi, his servant, call this Shunammite woman. When he had called her, she stood before him. And he said to him, say now to her, look, you have been concerned for us with all this care. What can I do for you? Do you want me to speak on your behalf to the king, or to command, or to the commander of the army? She answered, I dwell among my own people. So he said, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, actually, she has no son, and her husband is old. So he said, call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the doorway. Then he said, about this time next year, you shall embrace a son. And she said, no, my Lord, man of God, do not lie to your maidservant. But the woman conceived and bore a son, when the appointed time had come, of which Elisha had told her. And the child grew. Now it happened one day that he went out to his father to the reapers. And he said to his father, my head, my head. So he said to a servant, carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon. And then he died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, shut the door upon him, and went out. You see there the miracle and the tragedy in this passage of Scripture. Children are a gift from God. A great gift from God. I don't know what your opinion is on children today. Often that people say, oh, children, and they want to get rid of their children about as fast as they can, because we know they're difficult to deal with, but they are a great privilege and a great gift from God. Something to be treasured and to look for and forward to. And this family had no child. But we saw last week, and we talked last week, about how this woman was living content without children. And she was serving the Lord, and we don't see her complaining. But she was just serving God. And God said, Elisha said, what can we do to bless this family? What? They've been so good to us. They've gone out of their way. And, you know, he was willing to talk to the king. He was willing to, you know, help them in all sorts of ways. But they didn't need any of that. And finally, the answer came, what about a child? We could give this family a child. And we see here that Elisha indirectly helped this family conceive a child. He went out of his way, asked God, and said, this family needs a blessing. Will you do a miracle? And when I think about the scriptures, and I think about the kind of miracles that God is able to do, and the things that God does, one of the biggest miracle blessings, especially in the Old Testament, is when there's a woman that cannot have a child. And she is brokenhearted over that, and God steps in and helps this woman conceive a child. Let's look back at Genesis chapter 18. If you took notes, or if you were here last week, you may remember that we took a journey in our Bibles back to Genesis chapter 18. Under the oaks of Mamre. And we saw Abraham showing hospitality to God as he came and he met with them and they had a nice picnic under the oak trees. And here in this passage of Scripture, as we go back to chapter 18 of Genesis, we see something that really kind of parallels 2 Kings chapter 4. Because we see Abraham blessing his guest, preparing a meal for him, and God stepping in and doing something amazing. I know I've got up there Genesis 18, verse 14, but if we're going to understand the context, I think we got to look back at verse 6 and begin there. In verse 6, it says, so Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah and said, quickly, make ready 3 measures of a fine meal. Knead it and make cake. And Abraham ran to the herd to tend a tender and good calf. Give it to a young man, and he hastened to prepare it. So he took butter and milk and the calf which he had prepared and set it before them. And he stood by them under the trees as they ate. Then they said to him, where is Sarah, your wife? So he said, here in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return to you according to the time of life. And behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. Sarah was listening in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in age. And Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I have grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also? And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I surely bear a child since I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I'll return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. I hope you, as you look at 2 Kings chapter 4, and go back to Genesis 18, 2 Kings chapter 4, Genesis 18, you see some kind of similarity. This family in 2 Kings 4 and in Genesis chapter 18, they try to be a blessing to, in Genesis 18, the Lord and his angels. In 2 Kings chapter 4, the Lord's messenger. They try to be a blessing, to be hospitable. They both have a problem. They're both old and have never had a child, but they would like a child. And God says, this is impossible, but I'm a God that does the impossible. You've been hospitable. You have gone out of your way to make us feel welcome. You have a problem. You have something that is breaking your heart, and I want to step in and I want to fix this. It might seem impossible to man, but it's not impossible to God. And if you say, okay, nice, good stories in the Bible, this isn't just Bible stories. This is still the same thing that God does today. And as I read this story, I am reminded of probably one of my best friends in this world. And there was a guy by the name of Don Rice. He came to me and he invested in my life. He discipled me when I needed it. And he went out of his way to try and disciple me. And I remember him inviting me into his house, feeding me lunch all the time. And I followed him around camp and we did all sorts of projects. And I remember him saying to me, you know, Scott, is it all right if I call, you know, I'm just going to call you son. Everyone's, I don't have a kid, and me and Lori, and sure, Don, yeah. I mean, and he was a good friend to me. He showed me the love of Christ. And him and his wife didn't have any children. Before you know it, and Grandma and Grandpa are back here, before you know it, they adopted a whole troop of them. And they lived out Genesis 14 in 2 Kings chapter 4. And it's almost like Don lived all the time before me. Is anything too hard for the Lord? And guess what? God did Genesis chapter 18, 2 Kings chapter 4 type of miracle. And many of you have seen it and lived it and watched it in reality. So today, as a Christian, you think, is anything too hard for the Lord? God, why aren't you blessed? I have these requests. I have these things that I need. And God, I don't know if it's possible for this to even happen. Well, I tell you, start doing what the Bible says. Go out of your way to live for the Lord, to like Abraham. To make people feel welcome and to invite them to be a part of your life. Like in 2 Kings chapter 4, bless the believers around you and the people outside of you. Maybe invite someone over to your house and play some games with them and share the gospel with them. Be an encouragement to someone else. Go out of your way and do that and watch as God pours out blessings on your life. You'll be blessed far more abundantly than you could ever even imagine. This family wasn't even, they were content where they were. They weren't even asking, but God said, God through Elisha said, we're going to bless your family. Is anything too hard for the Lord? With men, things are impossible, but with God, all things are possible. God blesses. The Lord often blesses us in surprising ways. And sometimes at surprising times. Let's turn over in our Bible to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. This morning, my Shunammite woman, our Eshelman, reminded our Sunday school class that God blesses people. Even when we're not asking, even when we're not looking, God is in the business of blessing us. And in James chapter 1 and verse 17, it says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. As you see God doing great things in your life, know that the gifts are from Him. The good times, the things that He pours into your life. He is a very active God. And he blesses us beyond what we could ever even possibly imagine. God knows our hearts. And he really, truly cares about our secret frustrations. Sometimes we wonder, as we have problems and difficult things in this life, and as things are happening, we wonder, does God really care? Could he care about my problems, about my heartaches, about my, look at all the people and look at the things that they have going on in our life. I think that's a lie of the devil when we hear in our heart that we think that God can't care about what's going on in our life. No one can care about us. We talked this morning in Sunday school class about temptation. And we said that the Bible is clear that temptation doesn't come from God. And the book of James, where we are right now, says that when we are tempted by our own heart. And then we looked at how, well, Jesus Christ was tempted by the devil. But we are tempted of our own soul and our own heart, our own lusts. And if we followed that through, we'd understand that what the devil is trying to do and what his purpose is he's trying to deceive us. And he's using everything to try and deceive you, to try and make you believe a lie. And if there's a lie that he would like to get across from you, is that where you are today and what you are going through, God doesn't care about that. And he doesn't care about the things that are going on in your hearts. Let's turn in our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 4, and let's look at a God who cares. A God who cares. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 to 16 says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." That's a loaded passage of Scripture. As you look at that and you see that we have this special gift, one that's really pretty unique to the church, that at any time and anywhere we can go to God the Father through in the name of Jesus Christ and pour out our requests to him, and he cares so much to hear our request that he's willing to die on the cross so you could have that privilege. That's how much he cares. And he, when you wake up in the morning, the first thing you can do is you can go to God the Father and you can bring your request before him. When you're driving down the road and your life's, you just got questions and thoughts, you can pray to him. When someone comes and they say, "My world is just falling apart, I'd like to tell you about it," and they tell you about it, you can stop and you can say, "Let's pray about it." And God hears. And when you get a phone call at an unexpected time and you hear things that just break your heart, you can stop and you can say, "Let's pray about it." And I got this question. Why is it that when we get floored by those types of things, that maybe we begin to cry, maybe we begin to go tell our friends and we try to make 1,000 phone calls, but the first person we don't call on is God? Why is that? He cares more than everybody else. Some people are just going to say, "Well, that's your own dumb fault." And people might say negative things. They might go and gossip about it. But when you talk to God the Father, you're talking to somebody who can really do something about it and can make a difference. So go to him in prayer. He can help you through your weaknesses. He can sympathize. He can understand what you're going through. Note, the Shunammites did not seek this out. They did not ask for this child to be born. Thank you, Art, for setting me up this morning. I appreciate that. And as we think about that, today, maybe you'll be blessed. Maybe God's got something amazing for you today, and you don't even know it. You haven't asked, but God's just going to pour out His blessing on you. Will you turn around and thank Him for it, and notice that it's the God from heaven that gave you this, and that showered blessings upon you? Will you give Him the credit for what He has done? But as we go back to 2 Kings chapter 4, this family embraces a son. And just like Elisha said, a year later, they are holding a child. And the blessing from that, it lasted a while. But as we kind of look at this, we see that in the Bible it lasts for one verse. And the child grew. Now it happened one day that he went out to his father, to the reapers, and he said to his father, "My head, my head," and tragedy strikes. And in this Christian life, I am so glad that God blesses us. He showers grace upon us. He does amazing things. He answers prayer. But the truth of the matter is that in this world, trials are going to come. Difficult times are going to fall on us. And we need to remember the God that gives us those blessings is the same way that same God that will allow trials to come into our life so that the trying of our faith can mature us into a Christian that can be used for His service in great and mighty ways. And that's no difference in this case. My reading material that I read during the week is probably a lot different than yours. This week, I was kind of reading about some stuff for chemistry class, and I was reading about the metal thallium. Anybody here read about thallium this week? That just me. Probably just me. Like I said, I read different things. But these things interest me and excite me. And I was reading about thallium. You know, thallium is a trace metal that you guys will find in a lot of the medicines that you use. It helps with all sorts of things that as we take some medicine, and it can help with fighting cancer. It can help with all sorts of things. It's a metal, and it does some awesome stuff, and the health benefits are great. You want to know something else about it? It's the most toxic metal on earth. We've heard about mercury poisoning. You know, you ever have those mercury thermometers at school? We've got a couple, and you have to handle them with extreme care. And I don't let eighth graders play with them. You know what happened to the microwave. But anyways, that's just, and mercury's dangerous. And thallium is the most toxic metal to mankind. If you touch it, if you breathe it in, and it begins to work with the oxygen in your blood because of its oxidation numbers, you'll feel like you have the flu the next day, and it won't be too long before that could kill you a whole lot faster than mercury poisoning will, too. And as I think about that, I think about the fact that in this story, it's not too fast before tragedy hit this blessing, this good thing. It's not too long before it feels like their world begins to fall down. This death was literal. And this boy actually died. And the reality is that as we walk around and as we walk down the road, the people that we come in contact with are walking around dead in their trespasses and sins. Ephesians chapter 2 means a lot to me. It's one of my favorite passages of Scripture. And in school right now, we're talking about Christian words that we need to understand in my Bible class. And we're talking about words like propitiation and sanctification. And we're talking about being born again. And it's interesting because when Jesus uses those words with Nicodemus, and he says, "Aren't you a teacher in Israel? You don't understand these things. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again." Like Ezekiel should know what it means to be born again. I mean, like Nicodemus, excuse me. And so in class, I take the kids back to Ezekiel chapter 37. I say, look, in the Old Testament, you can see what it means to be born again. I should take them also to 2 Kings chapter 4. And I say, Nicodemus should know what it means, what it looks like to be born again. But I also say, if we want to know what it means to be born again, we want to look at Ephesians chapter 2. And so I had us read Ephesians chapter 2 because this morning in our responsive scripture reading, we just read it just a minute ago. But in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, it talks about the state of the majority of the people who walk around this world. It says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, "And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and in sins, in which you once walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince and power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience." There's a truth that really breaks our hearts, that breaks the heart of God, is that the majority of the people walking around in this world are no more alive than the Shunammite boy. They are dead in their trespasses and sins. The Shunammite family experienced tragedy, but we have a great tragedy walking the streets, our neighbors, our co-workers, family members who don't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior are dead in their trespasses and sins. Eternally in danger of being lost from heaven and salvation in Jesus Christ. And it ought to break our hearts because the Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And the harsh reality here is that the same story, you know, even though God is working blessings and stuff, the people we care about the most are dead in their trespasses and sins. As we look back in the story of 2 Kings chapter 4, I kind of want to look at this family. It's really, there's one big difference between Genesis chapter 18 and 2 Kings chapter 4. And in 2 Kings chapter 4, the husband is a background figure in this story. In Genesis chapter 18, it appears that Sarah is kind of in the background in the story. But here in 2 Kings chapter 4, we've got this father, and he says to the Shunammite woman, he says, "You want to build the house? Go ahead, build this house for Elisha." And when the child dies, he brings him to his mother. We don't see him reacting. And as I think about God has asked that men be a spiritual leader in the home. kind of breaks our hearts as we look here and we find that in this story, the husband, the father, is the background figure in the story. This is not the ideal biblical situation. Let's turn over our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5 as we look and we think about and we talk about the family. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25, it says, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one has ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." Now, I don't know what this father was like in this story, but I wish that he would have taken a lead at some point here. That we would see, because we so see, and we're going to see next week how what mom did and how amazing mom was in this story. Well, fathers, I'd like to challenge you today, grandfathers, to be the ideal man of God, to live and to take on the mantle of living a life that is faith, to be hospitable with your wife, and to encourage her and to work and come alongside of her. You'll see that children are a blessing from the Lord. You'll see in how God can make a difference in your world if you are a man of God. You'll notice that I did not bring up Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 22. Which says, "Wives, submit to your own husbands." There's something we got to learn from 2 Kings chapter 4, is that this Shunammite woman, she was an example of that. We see that in everything that she did. She submitted to her husband. She asked him for help. She did all this stuff, and she was a woman of faith. I wonder how this story might have been different if maybe he had been a man of faith. Maybe the faith of his wife wouldn't have had to been tried. But I'd like us to think about today, in our lives, men, women, are you living for the Lord? Are you serving him? And as you live your lives, do you see and acknowledge God just showering blessings on you, giving you things that you didn't even ask for, blessing you? But then do you also notice that sometimes God allows tragedy to strike, terrible things to happen, like happened in this family? And when they do, will you step up and respond as a faithful man or woman of God? And notice that God does bless us. He showers us with blessings. But he also allows us to go through and face the difficult times of God, of life, to strengthen our faith. Do you acknowledge our Lord in both the miracles and the good times of life and the tragedies that he allows to come in for the strengthening of our faith? Let's pray this morning. Lord God and Heavenly Father, I thank you for the blessings that you give us each day, that you provide us with help, that you encourage us. Lord, that even for those who for years live without the blessing and gift of a child, you answer their requests without them even asking, and you do the impossible. You've done it in the Bible. You've done it to our church family. And Lord, you're continuing to do those impossible things around the world. And Lord, as much as we thank you for the blessings and the miracles, we also thank you for the trials. We thank you for the testing. We thank you for the difficult times. And Lord, I pray that as the men of this church, we won't be in the background. We'll be out living a life of faith, stepping out and following you like Abraham did. Lord, I thank you and praise you for the faithful women in this church. Lord, those who follow you, who pray to you, who are hospitable. And Lord, I pray that you might encourage us all to, like this Shunammite family, go out of our way to show your kindness to the world around us, to love like you did. Lord, I pray that you might hear our requests and answer our prayers. Thank you that you care, that your Son came to this earth to die on a cross so that he can be our high priest who hears our requests and cares about the things that are going on in our life. Thank you so much that you care about us during the good times and during the bad. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.